We have been down and busy and probably, I don't know about the rest of y'all, but at least I've been depressed, so I haven't been doing anything.
Right. It's been weddings and funerals on this end. It's been nuts.
Oh yeah.
I feel this.
But we're back. I think we're going to start this off as season 4.
It is. I'm very excited to start season 4 with you guys and us get back into doing this. I miss you guys.
Right?
Miss you guys too. Yeah. And fun fact, this is actually, we're right around, I think we just passed the date, but we are right around the 2-year anniversary of this podcast.
Aww.
That's a long time. And I think what, Corey should be getting up on it almost a year with us, right?
Yeah, really? If it hasn't been a year.
Uh-huh.
Best decision we've made is adding that one.
Yes.
Ooh. And speaking of that, absolutely. I'm happy. And like I said, I miss you guys. And I'm happy to be back. And in saying that, this week we read, or not this week, I'm going to be honest with you guys, it's been a minute. We read a book suggestion from Corey.
Dig it. This is actually one of my top, if not favorite, books. And it is The September House by Carissa Orlando. And it's good stuff, guys.
Well, I personally didn't read it, but the other two did. So we will be getting all of the information.
I don't know why that made me laugh. Sorry, you being like, not me.
It's not that I didn't want to, but again, depression.
Ah, that's real.
Well, this is my third time reading it, and I read it like since I got the book every September, which is my birthday month. I sit down with it, and I'm just like a kid in a candy store. I'm so happy to read it, and it's just nothing but horrific, terrifying things the whole time. And I'm just like, this is what I like. And it's like, I've got problems. So, yeah.
I mean, a little bit, but that's okay too.
Don't we all? You want me to
We're
do
all
the
bad here.
Right? You want me to do the book back?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Right. Okay. All right. Margaret and Hal fell in love at first sight with their new home. Sure, the basement is musty and off-putting, and the realtor says people have died there, but whose house doesn't have its flaws? But as the years pass and the walls bleed, living in a haunted house can take a toll on anyone, especially when September comes. Now Hal is gone, and their rage-filled daughter, Catherine, comes to help the search for him and is going to be staying in the house, and September has just started. Can Margaret keep up with the worst of the house and keep it away from her daughter? All while staying sane? After all, you can survive anything. If you haven't read September House by Carissa Orlando, stop here and read it, because only spoilers ahead.
Okay, so you said you read the beginning of it, right, Kate?
Yeah.
All right, so let's start there. What do you guys think about the first couple chapters? Like, okay, so what is like your general feel of how? That's my main.
It's been a minute since I've actually read the first couple of chapters. I'm not going to lie to you. I know that he was very skeptical about a lot of stuff with that, and she was just very much like, it'll pass.
Yeah. Her dry acceptance of like everything terrible is what made me love this book so much. Because, like, in the beginning, when the realtor's showing them the house, and is like, they're like, oh my gosh, look at this closet tub. Oh my gosh, look at this sunroom. And the realtor's like, and so someone died, and she, like, won't go in the basement. She was like, and the other ones were, like, natural causes. So, and they're like, we don't care. Let's have the house.
Yeah, I do remember it almost seemed like there was a film. Like, it almost like a film over their eyes. In a way.
Yeah.
And, like under a trance.
I mean, it was a deep house.
And it sounds beautiful. Like when you read all the things about the house and like how it looks, when you're not thinking about the fact that the walls bleed, I get it a little. I get how you can go in and be like, it's so cheap. Yes, please. So.
No, that's fair. In this economy?
Right.
You said not this economy.
It's like all those videos where it's like you're too cheap to move out, so you just gotta like buddy up with the ghosts. And that's kind of what she is. And she figures out a way to just exist. And like, so whenever we do these podcasts, I make a characters list so that I don't ever forget anybody. And the character list is almost to the bottom of the page. And there aren't a lot of living people in this book.
So actually, I want to say something about that really quick, because it's like, I didn't fully read the book. I only read like the first or second chapter. I did listen to a brief synopsis, so I wasn't going to be like totally lost throughout the whole of this. But the way that it kept being explained, and I want to see if you guys kind of have like a similar opinion on this, is it reminded me of like the first season of American Horror Story. Like Murder House?
Yeah, a little.
Yeah, so a little.
But like just the aspect of the multiple ghosts and the dying at different times kind of thing. And then just like kind of living in one house, or even like, what was that? There was like, I guess, a TV show where a whole bunch of ghosts were staying, like living in a hotel or something like that. But it's the way that it was described to me, it was just like, oh, you have the maid with the axe in her head or whatever.
Yeah, she has a big gaping axe wound and like her eyes all droopy and
looking. Yeah. But it's like the way that it was tea. Yeah. But the whole thing just listening to it, it just kind of took me back to watching Murder House for the first time. So I don't know if that was like something you guys kind of seemed a little bit with, because it's like there's more to it. I know, like, obviously is mom crazy, is dad an alcoholic, which again, Murder House situation with that, but because you know the dad's a cheater and the mom everyone thinks is crazy kind of thing. So I don't know, I just thought that was like an interesting correlation, if you will.
Well, and with this, the ghost, except for Frederica, who is the maid, for the most part they don't interact with one another. So like the people from the different murders tend to not really interact with one another, but still exist in the house, like, all the same. But they almost got, like, their own zones. Like, one dude, what is it? I think it's Jasper. He hangs in the closet, and that is where he stays. And Blythe kind of stays in a fireplace and occasionally climbs the walls and plays piano. Like, it's... But they don't, like, interact with one another very much. The big three that do the most interaction with literally everyone is Frederica, who is the housemaid, who is very, very helpful. And then Elias, who is this scary little kid who's very bitey. And these kind of ghosts, you can feel it. And then, of course, the Master Vale, who is like the big bad.
Okay.
So, and he's why all these people are here.
Okay. So are these ghosts, like, are they more of like a poltergeist? Because you said that they could feel it. Like, when they could feel it when, like, Elias would bite and stuff?
Yeah, like, so Frederica literally is basically a maid. But she's dead with a big giant axe. Like, she makes tea. She makes dinner every night. The only thing she doesn't, and, like, she struggles with, like, modern appliances. Because she wasn't around then. Like, she can barely figure out how to do the toaster.
Fair. Yeah.
And so, like, so she is very... She has almost independence. And then there are others who, like Jasper cannot move. And is stuck in, like, this cycle, this cyclical last moment. And all of the children... Gosh, the children... just run around, and then they point at the basement and say, he's down there. And that is kind of all they do. So, yeah.
Okay, then.
And it's so funny. Like, it's funny in such a weird... So, like, Margaret will wake up and look up at the ceiling, and the wall is bleeding, and she's like, well, it is the beginning of September. It won't get that bad till the end of September. It'll be fine. Mm-hmm. I just have to step over the blood. And, like, other people come to the house, and they can't see it. And so, like, there's this secondary scene of, like, her sanity.
Mm-hmm.
And her ability to just exist with these big bad horrors in her life. And slowly, as the book goes on, you start to realize that she has been dealing with horrors her whole life. And these are just supernatural ones instead of just, you know, the normal, abusive, awful ones. And it's just, oh, I love her.
Okay. So is she clairvoyant, I'm assuming? Or... Yeah. Well, I guess if Hal could interact with them too, but nobody else sees anything else. Is it, I wonder if it's like, this is going to sound really weird, but like a clairvoyancy that is attached specifically to whoever owns the house at the time?
I think it's just a matter of existing in the house for a long period of time, and they get used to you, and then they start showing up. And
like roaches, by the end got it.
Because by the end of the book, everyone, all the living people are like absolutely sure that she is just full on guano, that she has lost her mind being in this house. And, you know, a little she has. And by a little, I mean a lot. And they convinced her at one point that she has lost her mind and that none of this is real. And that she's done a very terrible thing. And so they're about to take her out of the house, but the house doesn't want her to leave. And that's when everything goes absolutely insane. And then everyone can see them. And it's a wild ride.
So like 13 ghosts, got it. well, no, yeah, I know there's a difference. I meant more of like the ghost just popping out going like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know what else this reminded me of a little bit? The book is... one of my favorite British television show called Ghost.
Yes, I was thinking that.
Especially the basement ghost. I don't know why, but like this book just had me giggling with that. I will say her daughter, I enjoy.
Yeah, Catherine, and they do a lot in this book about like breaking cycles and trying to get out of cycles. Both the supernatural one of September being super, super haunted in this haunted house, and it comes back every single year, worse and worse and worse. And then also just like Hal was an abusive shit. And Catherine is trying not to become her father. And like the alcoholism is something that he went through and something she is currently going through. And she's so angry. And she's so terrified of becoming her father because it is a cycle that is trying to continue through her.
Absolutely. I mean, her father was a piece of shit. Entirely a piece of shit.
Oh, he was. I was not, go ahead.
No, I'm just happy that they, you know, they had addressed, like, the abuse that was happening.
And the way they go about it, where it's just slowly throughout the book, like, you know something has happened, because they keep alluding to it, but Margaret doesn't want to talk about that. It's old news. We're not worried about that anymore. We're not talking about it.
Oh. Yeah, that sounds like classic battered wife syndrome.
Yeah.
So my next question really quick is, does it shift? Because I know from, like, the first chapter or two, it's mostly, like, Margaret's perspective. Does it shift to Catherine's?
Nah.
Is it just an open-ended narrator? Or unreliable, you don't know who's narrating?
No, it's just Margaret the whole time.
Oh, it's just Margaret the whole time? Okay.
Yeah. Margaret all the way down.
Which So I didn't realize, like, I really do like that about this book, but I just like that in general. Sometimes when reading, it could get so murky when you have to read different perspectives.
It can.
Yeah. Well, and the fact that her, like, her ability, like, to be a reliable narrator, because at first, she sounds mostly sane for somebody who is talking about, you know, kids who are cut in half just being dragged across the hall. And she's like, yeah, I don't remember that kid's name. It'll come to me. Anyway, but she seems fairly sane for someone who lives in a haunted house. And that slowly degrades. And then she's like, it's like September 17th or something. And then her daughter's like, it is September 30th. Because she starts losing time. And like when her daughter takes her out to look for her husband, which is so hilarious because from what you read, did it tell you what happened to Hal?
It did not. Like I said, okay. I barely got them into, like, I met the maid, Frederica. I met her. Oh. I was, like, a little bit into it. It was like, oh, it's September again. There's blood on the walls, and they're walking through, and that's about as far as I was able to get.
Yeah. Well, Catherine, who has a horrible relationship with both of them in the first place, and then when they move into a haunted house, they're like, that's fine. That's for the best. He does not need to be here. Is asking for her dad because she hasn't heard from him in a while, like in a long while. And so her mom's like, yeah, he's gone. And she's like, what do you mean gone? And she's like, he's gone. He got in a car and he left. And she's like, what the F do you mean he got in a car? And she's like, I don't know what to tell you. He wanted to leave, he left. And so, like, you can tell from the beginning that that is not, like, the truth. And you come to find out, again, spoilers, he is hella murdered in the basement the whole time from the beginning, from where this book starts in chapter 2 with her being like, nowadays he is dead in the basement the whole ass time, and the kids keep going, he's down there, and they're talking about Master Bell, but they're also talking about her husband the whole time.
So did the demon of the basement situation thing, was he the one who killed Hal, or did any of the ghosts, or did Margaret do it? Because honestly, that's...
The cops thought she did kill him, because they went down there and they saw the body, and they were like,
and they because at that point, it's the spouse is always the first one you look at, but...
Yeah. And so, but once they, in the body is like broken in such horrific ways and twisted in on itself and is an a monster had to do it kind of vibes. And so they come upstairs and they're like eyeing her because, of course, they think it's her, but she's also a little crazy right now. And they're like, you did this. And she was like, I did this. And they're like, yeah, you did this. You're crazy. Sorry. And like they're trying to be calm about it and try and walk her through her realizing how crazy she is, and she's like, oh, maybe I did do it. And then they try and get her to leave the house, and that's when you realize that she definitely didn't do it. It was Master Vale, but she also didn't stop it from happening either. Because he told her, he's like, I can't stay in this crazy house anymore. I'm losing my mind. I want to take it all apart. I want to take it down, and I need you to come with me, and I need you to leave this house. And she's just like, no, this is my house. This is my house. This is my perfect house. Sure, it's haunted. It's one month out of 12 that it's like really, really haunted, and the rest is fine. Like she's like, I'm not leaving. And he's like, I need you to leave. And she's like, I'm not leaving. And he shows up again in the middle of the night. And she can hear him down there. And she can smell the gasoline. And she hears him pause at the bottom of the stairs. Like, he's going to come up and, like, maybe tell her to get out of the house. And he doesn't. And he just walks right by the stairs, knowing full well she's up there while he's pouring gasoline all through this house. And then he goes to go downstairs to confront the big baddie, and it doesn't end well for him. And the house is fine in the morning.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Yeah.
How is... Are we sure this isn't being... Did we talk about... You mentioned something about this possibly being made into a movie or a series or something? I don't know if you guys did.
I just Googled it and it said that it could be a possibility.
Okay. It's going to sound really weird, but I think the production company of A24 would do fantastic with that.
Oh, they would do. They would make her look absolutely bonkers, and it would be fantastic.
But I mean, can we?
Pearl has a similar thing to that, though, too. The movie Pearl.
Oh my gosh, yes. Except Pearl was the murderer.
Pearl was crazy, but I mean, the premise, like the way that it was set up.
Oh my gosh, so good.
It just, it seems like something that would work well, like the way A24 does it. Like the production company for like the Pearl X and Maxine like trilogy there. Like I feel like would work really well with this movie. If this was made into a movie.
Or like even in like a mini series.
Yeah.
You know what's crazy is that Hal did not like. From what I remember, because it's been like a month and a half since I read this, a month.
Yeah.
He didn't make an appearance back.
No. He is there to buy the house, and he is only in flashbacks from there on forward.
Yep, he was like, he was not, I hate to say it like this, but he wasn't really a character to me. He was just, right? He was just a plot point. Not even a true plot point.
Even an origin story for why she was the way she was.
So, okay. If Hal is murdered and tormented in the basement, why isn't he a part of the ghost, like, click area?
Well, he's a bit like Jasper. Well, yeah, he actually doesn't have a ghost. And I don't know how that works, because I kept waiting for him to show up again and be like, ugh. Now he has to deal with his undead self. But he doesn't show up again. Thank God. I guess he was at peace with himself. I don't know.
I mean, he was a narcissist. He loved himself.
Well, and the thing is, and I think it's because it happened so soon. Like, his death happened a couple months before the present telling of the book. And then at the end of the book, they defeat Master Vale in, like, they basically rip him apart in some of the most graphic, gruesome, best ways. And and then they're all kind of freed. So, like, some of them leave, and then some of them decide to stay. And, like, Frederica goes inside to make a cup of tea for everybody. Like, it's... Yeah. So it might be that his soul is freed before it could even be, like, fully ghostified or however it works in this book. But no, he does not. He's her origin story. But he's, like you said, the plot point, the reason Catherine's there, the reason all this is happening.
And that's it. But I will say, like, I'm happy. I like her ending very much so.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things that I had written down is that this book is so much about, like, female strength. Because if you look at all of the men in this book, so Master Vale is like a really disturbing character, and is defeated by basically women and children. And then like Father Cyrus, which is another male character who he's the priest who they call to do like exorcisms in the house.
Was it the guy who had the flies that come out of his mouth?
Yes. And so he gets broken by that. Jasper is literally on a coat hanger, basically in a closet somewhere, broken up the way Hal is. Hal's broken. And then the male police officers who show up also are just completely like you know how spiders look when they die, how they're all crunched up on in themselves?
Yes.
A bit like that. And so like all the men in this book are so rigid and so set in their ways and are often the abusers, like Jasper killed his wife. Father Cyrus thinks he can, you know, just walk into a house and just say a couple words, and it does work. It does work a bit. And just call the shots. And Hal would abuse Margaret, and the police officers come in thinking that, you know, oh, it's just this crazy lady. You know, they're a little worried about her, but like if she had been a man, they'd have had their guns out pointed the whole time. But more they're just trying to talk her through her crazy. But they're all like controlling and rigid. And so they break. They all break. And Margaret shows like this female strength of being flexible but not breaking. So I will deal with being abused. I will shift around being abused as long as my daughter doesn't have to take it. And then as soon as Catherine is threatened by Hal, she sends Catherine to her sister and is like, screw you, you can't touch her. You can touch me all you want. No. So like when she finally does put her foot down, like it's life changing. And it just shows like this. And then all the women kind of band together to defeat Master Vale, and all the children come too. And so it's like this beautiful, I am woman, hear me roar,
mm-hmm.
kind of thing. And I love it. I eat it up.
It was really good characters.
Oh, so good.
They were written. The way this whole thing was written, actually. Like, I'm telling you, it reminded me of Ghost. Heavily, not the U.S. version, the British version.
Yeah.
Which is the only one that I acknowledge.
What, you don't like Patrick Swayze?
No. This is a TV show.
I know. I was making a...
I've never seen Ghost, guys, with Patrick Swayze.
You've never seen it?
No, I don't even know what it's about.
Well, it's a romance. The ghost.
Oh.
Yeah.
No.
It has that famous scene where they're like doing the pottery.
Oh, I do know what scene, because I see that. I've seen like clips of that scene.
Yeah.
It has Whoopi Goldberg in it. I do know that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've never seen it, but I feel like I should see that. That and Fight Club. I gotta see these movies. No.
You've never seen... Okay. Oh. We're going to have a conversation about this one later after the podcast, because I got some questions.
You have to pick one. Watch Fight Club. Oh.
I'll watch it. I'm going to watch Black Phone. So that's on my weekend. Oh,
Black Phone? One or two? Or both?
Two, always. Like, I have not seen two at all. I'm so excited for that one.
I'm
but
so ready for that too.
We're getting off subject here.
We are.
As we always do, but I, like I said, I'm just happy to be back. And this was a really good suggestion. The book was.
It sounds really cool. I will eventually attempt to read it once I get out of the slump.
Oh, reading slumps. The worst.
Yeah.
So, saying that, I do have a question for you guys. Would you have stayed in the house if it's just 1 month out of the year?
Look, every time I read this book, I get more and more tempted. I'm not going to lie. I'm just like, if I know that in the end I get to defeat the evil, maybe. Because it's a beautiful house.
We're like going to have to
find the description.
I mean, I feel like I've watched enough Supernatural. I can get the ghosts out.
Yeah,
we're just gonna have to deal with it. You know, like I'm too poor to live anywhere else.
It's exactly like if my house was haunted, it would be very difficult. Well, I have these enough, but if my house was haunted, because you know me, I moved around so often as a kid that I was just like, as soon as I bought my house, I was like, we're putting down roots and they're going deep and you have to like kick me out of this house. But we have a rule in our house. We have a 3-strike rule where if something like terrifyingly creepy that is we can't explain happens at strike one. And if the strikes start to build up, that's when we have to start having a different conversation. And of course, we don't believe anything like that's going to happen, but it's just fun to have the rules so we can be like, oh, that's strike one. And then in 6 months, we just forget about it. But yeah.
So we are a military housing. And as Kate knows, it is always said the military housing is haunted. Like, I don't think I've ever lived.
Oh, yeah, I hit a ghost in my house.
Right. In Texas. Listen, I'm pretty sure my apartment in Korea was haunted. Like, you can't tell me at this point different. There was so much weird shit that would happen. If that makes sense. Like, you could, it literally sounded like every single day that there was somebody walking around the apartment and there was no one.
Yikes.
That's fair. We, I think after my dad passed away and I had his ashes in my house in Texas, I'm pretty sure that my dad's ghost and the ghost of the house that we lived in were constantly fighting each other. Like, I was convinced for a little bit that something was going on because the ceiling fan would move weirdly. Like, and I know you were over at my house one time and you saw the weird ceiling fan moment.
I'm telling you, Joe. These military houses haunted. Don't tell me different.
My dad's just getting fist fights with the ghosts of military past, so.
Yeah, they're no. And you know what? Like I said, 2025. We just got off a government shutdown. Life's a mess. Ghosts, we are just living together. You're in the suck. I'm in the suck. Motherfucker, we live together.
Yep. Call it District 12, because this is the Hunger Games, baby.
This is a hunger, like, fuck. I told John that the other day. We were talking because I was looking at, like, this Victorian home for sale. And I was like, oh, my God, it's, like, right next to the beach. And he was like, it's probably haunted. And I was like, so?
100% haunted, yeah.
It's $200,000 for a 5-bedroom house. Be haunted.
Oh, fuck that.
Look,
wait, we're going to pretend this is Casper with Christina Ricci, and we're just going to live in the house.
And I hope it's a hot ghost too.
That is a different series right there.
That is Patrick Swayze, but back on subject.
Oh my god. Would you guys, I already know this, Corey, and you already said you are gonna read it. I think I would read this again. Or more books like this. I would love to see more books like this one that we read in the podcast as well.
Yeah, I'm down.
I think that would be really cool. And I really am looking forward to the future. Like, we are definitely gonna come back to, I think, record. We had talked about it twice a month, right? Every other week.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. Yeah, Corey has more suggestions like this because I actually like this book.
Ooh, I'm down.
I have honestly, aside from this one, just because of the slump, I have enjoyed every recommendation Corey has put out. So,
oh, yeah. Yay!
Don't ask me.
I have that stuff.
No, I love it, and I love that we're reading like a variety of stuff. And seeing that, dear listeners. I hope we still have dear listeners. I think the Hunger Games books and talk about them. I'm really excited about that. I look forward to that. I'm going to force Corey to dad with me and read Hazmich's story.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, it's been a minute since I've cried at a book, and that one in particular.
That was rough. It was beautiful, but it was rough.
So beautiful. I put it down for 3 weeks because I got so sad that I needed to take a moment and like regroup because I was like, fuck, no one told me how hard. You didn't even say how hard that book was going to be.
It was.
Yay. I'm so looking forward to this.
It's worth the read. Yeah, and let me tell you, especially if you plan on reading the original series before you go to read like the sequel or the prequels, a lot of it really makes Catching Fire make a lot more sense.
It really does. And it's gonna make you see you're going to see his like things that he did throughout like things with Katniss and PETA make so much more sense.
But we are getting off topic and talking about this when it's not the right episode.
We'll get to that.
So we'll get to that. We'll be coming up on that in like a couple of weeks.
Yes. And in saying that,
we're going to try and read Housemaid next.
Yes, Housemaid.
I believe so.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. But, you know, Kate, you need the second one now.
I do need to read the second one. But all right. It looks like our next book is The Housemaid by Freda McFadden. So
I'm excited for that. I'm happy we're back, and we will talk to you guys next time.
Yep. Make sure you follow us on all of our socials and on Instagram and TikTok. And until next time, bye.
Bye.